KCNR are those of the host, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And hello once again. Welcome to Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
And this show celebrates analog living in a digital world, and it is becoming more and more digital every day. And rather than talk about goodies and gadgets and things with buttons, most of our show today is going to be looking to the skies.
We're space cases today.
Lots of news in going on right over our heads. Of course, we had the super moon last week, and it was interesting when we were on our way home. The night that the full moon rose, there were people all lined up along Buena Ventura Boulevard, where it tops the hill, and for this just enormous moon. Of course, it even looks bigger on the horizon, and lots of great pictures on the web. It was viewing conditions here were absolutely perfect.
Yes, they were. It was such a beautiful evening, too. The weather was perfect, and it wasn't too hot, wasn't too cold. It's when you can stand to sit out with your lawn chair and just do nothing but look at the moon. Now, what a waste of time that might be. But on the other hand, it's good for the soul.
It is good hand-holding time.
Yeah, yes. That too. And you can always toast it with a teeny or something, you know, whatever your favorite.
We had trees in the way, but later on in the evening, we stepped outside, and it was
like a floodlight.
You could read a newspaper by the moonlight. It was that bright, so pretty amazing. And in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about another astronomical event that is very, you know, it seems like when there's big news things or big happenings, the West Coast always kind of misses out on these cool astronomical events, but not this
time.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to talk about that. But first, up top, in addition to telling you that this program, made possible by our good friends down there at Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F West Side Road, safe, reliable car care for the customers and our community. And Cody and Tim take good care of your car. And, in fact, they serviced my Jeep with a very long overdue oil change. He cringes slightly.
Thank goodness for synthetic oils, which help mitigate some of the problems long-term oil.
Change your oil, get a good mechanic, and have your car looked at regularly, because when you face Reading summer conditions, you got to have a good, reliable vehicle that isn't going to strand you on the side of the road when the thermometer is up around 120 degrees and the asphalt will literally fry eggs.
And if you're a busy person, nothing's more annoying than having your car break down, and that isn't what you were going to do with your time or money that day, and no one needs that hassle.
Well, in addition to all the other things that Brenda and I are involved with, we are both ham radio operators, although lately haven't been able to indulge that as much because we're moving. And so a lot of my ham radio setup is
in pieces,
and that's depressing me because right now international radio shortwave conditions are possibly the best they have been in a lot of old-timers say decades, thanks to increased solar activity. The last couple of solar cycles have been kind of This one looks like it's really ramping up rather nicely. Now, that has good aspects from the ham radio operator's point of view, but from the point of view of those of us who rely so heavily now on the internet and cell phone communications and GPS satellites, there is a dark side to an overly bright sun, isn't there?
Or active sun. First of all, the reason that it's good for radio transmissions is because when you get a lot of solar activity, the Earth's magnetosphere reacts to that, and it creates excitements in the atmosphere, for lack of a better phrase. And what that does is it creates layers in the atmosphere that radio waves bounce off of very readily, which is a good thing. There are some radio bands that work much better during the daytime because of that, and other bands that work better at night because of conditions. But when you get a lot of solar activity, there are certain bands in the ham radio frequencies that work really well. And like Bob said, they haven't been working for some time. Now, there's different kinds of activity on the sun, and one of the things that we want to watch, and there actually is a space weather forecasting thing. NOAA has that, and NASA puts out information on that. And everybody gets all excited. In fact, I had a conversation with my coworkers this week about that, and they said, well, should we be worried about this solar flare? And I said, well, was there a CME with it? CME? What's that? coronal mass ejection. Those are the really dangerous ones. The way I look at it, I said, well, were the guys in the space station headed for their little special room? And then the person said, I don't know. I said, that's what I look for. If
yeah.
Not taking special precautions on the International Space Station, then it's probably not a really bad one.
Yeah, this Thursday, the sunspot, which is bigger than the planet Jupiter, it is a monster.
That's huge.
In fact, with the special viewing equipment, and we're going to, if you want to see the sunspots and other solar phenomena, including the big one coming up next weekend, learn how to do it safely.
And we'll be talking about that.
Sunglasses and, smoke glass, etc. are a good way to destroy your eyesight. I am not making a joke. Okay. There are plenty of websites with information on how to safely view solar phenomena.
Very cheap devices, that you can get.
And there's going to be all kinds of parties and stuff. But back to this thing with the sunspot. This thing is huge. It has so far launched off a couple of pretty good class, what are called M-class flares. Now, we've mentioned before, solar flares come in three flavors, C, M, and X. And the X-class flares are the ones that we really worry about, because that means that a huge chunk of solar material is launched into space at just incredible speeds. And when that hits the Earth, it causes all kinds of interactions, up to and including taking out satellites and, historically, sparking fires on the ground, because those moving waves of energy cause induced currents in long wires.
Right, such as large power lines, right?
Absolutely. You can blow transformers out in the 70s, I think it was. A huge solar flare actually blew out a good portion of the eastern Canadian power grid.
Right.
So it can happen, and we're so much more. I'm not sure the exact.
I think it was more recent than that.
Yeah, maybe it was more recently. But it was a pretty good hit. So you have to be aware of that. So, you know, we've gotten very dependent on our cell phones and things like that. And just something you want to keep in mind, back up your computers, of course. The thing that alarms me is the cloud-based computing, where you've got so much of your information that is online and not anyplace else. So back up.
Yeah, and back up some more. It almost makes you paranoid. That's one of the vulnerabilities, of course, with big solar flares is so many of our satellites, telecommunications and GPS satellites and things like that are vulnerable to these events happening, and there's nothing we can do to control it. The best they can do is to shut down the satellites temporarily and hope they can minimize damage.
So if we get a big report of a solar flare, could be hard to get money out of your ATM, could be hard to do online transactions, all kinds of interesting effects. So we'll keep an eye on that.
It was 1989 for the Canadian power grid failure, okay. Actually.
Well, we had a super moon we talked about coming up, a rare astronomical event, and we've got literally a ringside seat here in Northern California with ideal viewing conditions. We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio.
The rising cost of fuel has us all looking for ways we can save a little, but those few dollars you don't spend on vehicle maintenance now could end up costing you a lot later on. Advanced Automotive of Reading is more than just a place to take your car, truck, or RV for repairs. They're caring members of our community with a big heart. That's why, as part of their car care program, Advanced Automotive of Reading is offering an easy pay option with 6 to 12 months interest-free financing on qualified purchases. And as if that weren't enough, find out how to enter the monthly drawing for $50 worth of fuel. For all the details on these great offers, and for the very best in safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, call Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 West Side Road, 244-4423. That's 244-4423.
Satisfied customers are really important to us here at Crown, like Lindy Silva of Reading. Lindy tells us, I wanted a new Ford Mustang, so I came to Crown. I got exactly what I wanted and saved some money. I call her Ellie. I love it. Thanks, Lindy. You and Ellie are welcome at Crown anytime. Check us out at CrownMotorsReading.com. And remember, as dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we'll sell them for.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it too with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and Body Powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Welcome back. You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi here.
Well, we talked about the supermoon, and next week, just another incredible celestial sight as the planets go through their dance. It's very interesting.
We are going to be ringside for what is referred to as an annular solar eclipse. Now, an annular solar eclipse is where the moon does not completely cover the solar disk. And I believe only 4% of the sun will be showing, though, so it should be quite noticeable. It's going to occur fairly late in the day, around 6:30, a little bit before that is the peak of it, apparently. So it takes a while for it to come into place, and it takes a while for it to go away. So this is not an event that happens like instantaneously. Now, back in 1979, when I was in school in college in Seattle, there was a total solar eclipse that went through the area. I played hooky. I mean, you do not get, it was a Friday, I remember that. I played hooky in my classes, and a friend and I went over to Yakima, Washington, and I saw it. Mm. And it is quite indescribable.
I think for that event, we had like 70-80% coverage here, and it was still bright, but there was something wrong.
Right,
you could tell.
The light's just different.
Yeah.
But totality is fascinating, and all of the pictures that I've seen of a total eclipse, very few of them have done justice to the actual event. Most of them that you see, they look black and white, and it's not really black and white like that. There's much more color. For one thing, the sky is more of a midnight blue as opposed to black. The sun's rays, while they're bright white, and of course, with a total solar eclipse, you can actually look at the sun, or you know, towards the sun, and see the corona. And it's an amazing thing. If you ever have the opportunity to see a total solar eclipse, then go for it, because it's just so fascinating. And the odd thing was, we could look to the north and south and see, you know, where there wasn't as much shadow. And it was just very eerie. It didn't get like midnight black. It didn't get that dark, because not all the path of totality is a very narrow shadow mm-hmm. on the Earth's surface. So, you know, you don't see it get dark like in the middle of the night, but it's still an amazing event. So this one, will be very interesting to experience, because I've never seen a partial eclipse like this. I've seen other partial eclipses, but this is almost totality, mm-hmm. not quite. And we're in a prime place.
Yeah, the
to see it.
The path of maximum coverage touches the Pacific coast near the California-Oregon border. We got a ringside seat, which is kind of a pun because it's an annular eclipse and
yes.
leaves the ring. but we're going to be in a prime spot. The weather should be excellent this time of year for viewing, correct?
We're hoping so.
Fingers crossed. Now, here's a couple of safety tips. You've heard this before. Why do I have to tell you this?
Wait, before we get there,
yeah.
People are probably going, oh, when is it? It will be next Sunday, I have to look up the calendar here.
That's the 19th.
The 20th.
Or 20th.
I believe
20th.
It's on the 20th at
yeah.
around 6:30 in the evening, and we'll talk a little bit more about where you can go and some of the events that are.
Space.com yeah. has a big page on it, and lots of local events, the Schrader Planetarium, the
Turtle Bay's got something
Turtle
going.
Turtle Bay and the
Whiskey Town
Astronomical Group
right.
here in town.
Right, right. Has an event planned with Whiskey Town. But anyway. Back to what you were saying.
Okay. Don't ever let me catch you looking directly at the sun, either
Even
with your naked eye or sunglasses or...
The only time it is safe to do that is during a total solar eclipse.
Yep. To safely observe an annular eclipse, you can get special solar filters or a number 14 welder's glass that is denser than the standard number 12. You can get it at a specialized welder supply stores. You can get solar shades. You can get them from telescope stores, and they're available online. Or the simplest and safest way is to make yourself a pinhole camera, and that is done by...
Well, I saw a really neat way. You take a cereal box or something like that, and across the top, the top flaps, you close the top of the box, tape it shut, then you cut two rectangles out on each side of the top flap. So you've got one hole you can look in. The other hole, you put foil over that hole and then punch, like with a small finishing nail, punch a hole in the foil there. When you look in the box, and this works best if the bottom of the box is lined with white paper or is already white, when you look down into the box, then what you're going to see is a image of the sun through the pinhole, and when the eclipse starts to happen and when it gets to its total thing that it's going to do, in this case, the full extent that it's going to, you will see the shadow of the moon as it crosses the sun through your pinhole viewer. Now, you can even make it even simpler. My understanding is you take two pieces of paper, and you have one that is your display surface. The other is one that you punch a hole in, and you can experiment with holding it at a certain angle or whatever with the sun, and it does the same thing. So you have a pinhole viewer. That one's incredibly simple.
Hmm.
So there are other ones you can get and that sort of thing. You may not have a lot of time to get it shipped, but the Edmund Scientific, for instance, is one. Any of the school scientific supply outfits. And my understanding is Turtle Bay is going to be selling the viewing glasses as well.
And you can get what's called a hydrogen alpha filter that you can fit over your telescope or whatever.
Right.
If you can order them for binoculars, but be very, very careful because I have seen fires started by careless use of binoculars in the daytime.
Right.
And imagine if it'll set fire to a patch of grass, imagine what it's going to do to your retina.
Yes.
So
make sure that you get the proper filters. You know, there's all kinds of myths out there about it, but there's also very, very good information on the web and any number of sources that describe a way to safely view. And the pinhole viewer is cheap, easy. It lets a lot of people see it at once. The cereal box version is kind of one person at a time. But again, you can display that out on a piece of paper, and more than one person can see what's going on.
So once in a lifetime opportunity, just make sure it's not the last thing you ever see.
Okay? Yeah, literally. Yeah. And it's nice to be able to do this
work
locally.
With me here, people.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to do this here locally. When I saw the total solar eclipse in 79, I had to actually go somewhere because where I was cloudy and wasn't in the path of totality. Then it worked out great.
When we return with Boomer Tech Radio, why can't they build cars this reliable? We're talking about the Mars rover still chugging along years after it was destined to die. It's on the move once again. We'll talk about that when Boomer Tech Radio continues.
A safe and reliable vehicle is not only important to your peace of mind, it's good for everyone else on the road as well. Regular automotive maintenance can actually help save you a lot of money by spotting and correcting small problems before they turn into those costly major repairs. A tradition of service above and beyond what customers can get anywhere else is what sets Advanced Automotive of Reading apart from the rest. Tim Morlock opened Advanced Automotive years ago with that simple philosophy in mind, and now his son Cody is ready to serve their customers well into the next generation of cars and drivers. Come see the difference for yourself at Advanced Automotive. They're located in South Reading, where State Route 273 meets South Bonneville at 5756 West Side Road behind NorCal Transmissions. Give them a call at 244-4423 or visit them online at advancedautoreading.com.
Time to clean your home or office carpets? Looking for a company you can trust? Hex Carpet Care has the best in carpet care technology, but with old-fashioned customer service. They pride themselves with no broken promises. They do what they say. They are built off of referrals. They're the company you feel good about referring. Hex Carpet Care is locally owned and operated, offering same and next day appointments. No job is too big or too small. Give us a call, 710-6267. That's 710-6267. Hex Carpet Care. Simply the best.
Hi, I'm Bob Moore from Moore's Flour Mill, and I'd like to clear up some confusion. Measure B has nothing to do with the proposed shopping mall on Knighton Road. Measure B is an extreme measure that would dictate what hundreds of private property owners can or cannot do with their land. Measure B is supposed to protect farming, but if it passes, I won't be able to expand my organic farm in Cherry Creek Bottom or allow the public to buy fresh milled grain products at the farm. So please, vote no on Measure B. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the shopping mall.
Paid for by Moore's Flour Mill.
Welcome back. Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda here every Saturday on KCNR 1460 and brought to you by our very good friends at Advanced Automotive of Reading. Well, speaking of things with wheels, like that segue? When the Mars rover's Spirit and Opportunity were put together using off-the-shelf parts, standard computers, bits and pieces, no huge contracts, the whole program was done very much on a shoestring budget and launched, it was expected that these two rovers would land on Mars. This was an untried system using the big bouncy balloon thing, the airbag, remember that? It had never before been done.
Right, and they both survived.
Yep.
And so they sent two. They figured they would be lucky to get one of them.
Yep.
And then both cases, they both survived.
It was amazing. Now, these units were expected to have a useful life of 90 days.
Something like that.
That
was in 2004 when they safely arrived in at Mars.
And I remember covering the story because we had a couple of local kids from West Valley go down and participate at the JPL in a student program. Well, after all this time, 8 years now, the Opportunity rover is still able to move around under its own power. It woke up the other day. It rolled for 12 feet. It had been parked in a safe zone during the Martian winter, which gets pretty darn cold. You think you got to worry about your antifreeze?
Well, their Martian summer's not very warm either.
Yeah, yeah. It's about as harsh a condition as you could ask for. But Opportunity is again starting to explore because it was figured that the dust in the Martian atmosphere would cause the solar panels that feed power to these vehicles would fail. Now, Spirit had a wheel problem of some sort and couldn't move anymore, but I guess it finally went dark.
Right. It went dark in 2010, and they have not heard from it since. However, Opportunity is still doing its thing, so that's, what, 8 years?
Yeah.
And
pretty amazing.
They assumed these would last 60 to 90 days. That was their design life. And 8 years later, it is still functioning. That's phenomenal when you think about it for off the, off-the-shelf parts. And Spirit operated, life cycle, that amounts to about 21 times its design lifetime was able to operate.
An
Opportunity still going.
Yeah.
I think that they see some degradation in various things, but they also have found out that the winds on Mars occasionally
solar
panels off. And in fact, they were seeing, I forget which one it was showing some decreased activity through the solar panel. And then one day it was all good again. Mm. And, there's some really interesting tracks.
Maybe the little green guys came up with a little feather duster.
No, actually, they think a dust devil went by, which seems like an oxymoron that a dust devil would clean off the solar panels. But everyone knows what a dust devil
amazing
looks like.
Amazing pictures from the orbiter,
and dust devils are huge, and not only that, they leave these very telltale tracks on the planet, and you can see where they've been, and it's kind of interesting. So some of the benefits, anyhow. It's a fascinating thing. We got a new one on the way, too, that's due there this August, I believe.
Well, the current mission right now, of course, is to check out clay deposits. And clay only happens where you have water, and it has to be in the right amounts and all that. You don't get clay soil without quantities of water. So that is Opportunity's current mission, is to do what they call ground truthing and go seek out these clay deposits, because the evidence continues to mount that Mars, at least at one time, had abundant water, and there may still be water under the surface. And where you have liquid water, you have the conditions necessary for the formation of life. And we've had so many is there, isn't there, situations with did life appear independently on Mars predating life here, because Mars would have cooled off much earlier.
Right, and folks know that there's not much atmosphere on Mars, and my understanding is that the composition of the planet and its internal structure is partly responsible for that. Eventually, the Earth will lose its atmosphere as well. And the molten core that we have in the Earth is really what saves our bacon, because it creates the magnetosphere, which protects us from the solar wind and the solar radiation, which actually can erode your atmosphere. And at some point, Mars, with a more solid core or less liquid core, kind of lost its magnetosphere, and the solar wind was able to eat away, if you will, Mars's atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the way that works. Check me on that, though. If you're curious, you can find it, I'm sure, under Google without too much trouble.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of the way that works.
So
not exactly science and tech. Well, science and technology.
The next big rover, Curiosity, due to touch down on August the 5th.
I can hardly wait.
Huge, much bigger.
Yeah, this thing's about the size of a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty impressive. It does have a plutonium power plant.
Right.
It is expected not to be as prone. Now, it's a much more complex vehicle. What I love so much about Spirit and Opportunity is they were so
simple
and robust. And I hope we get lucky again. It'll be interesting to see. Now, of course, we've had some misfires. The most famous one, when feet converted to meters, and you had international teams, and we managed to plow the Polar Observer into a deep hole. That was
such a sad event.
Yes.
You wait all this
always
time.
The human element with,
yes.
With these things.
I'm sure that they fixed that this time. There's checks, double checks, and triple checks. Again, a delivery system that's untried, and we'll be waiting. And, you know, better imagery, better power plants, more capability, complex, yes, but able to do more. It'll be fascinating to find out what happens.
When Boomer Tech continues, speaking of new technologies, the imaging technology that would completely change, again, the way we view our world through the lens. Amazing stuff when we come back.
The rising cost of fuel has us all looking for ways we can save a little, but those few dollars you don't spend on vehicle maintenance now could end up costing you a lot later on. Advanced Automotive of Reading is more than just a place to take your car, truck, or RV for repairs. They're caring members of our community with a big heart. That's why, as part of their car care program, Advanced Automotive of Reading is offering an easy pay option with 6 to 12 months interest-free financing on qualified purchases. And as if that weren't enough, find out how to enter the monthly drawing for $50 worth of fuel. For all the details on these great offers, and for the very best in safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, call Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 West Side Road, 244-4423. That's 244-4423.
Shasta County seniors, families, and caregivers, it is time for the 2012 Spring Senior Expo inside Macy's, Wednesday, May 23rd. Learn about businesses and nonprofit agencies that serve seniors. The first 100 seniors receive a VIP goodie bag with a $10 gas card inside. Shoppers save an extra 15% with your Macy's card. Don't miss this community event on Wednesday, May 23rd. Over 40 booths inside Macy's from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Enjoy breakfast and lunch and more prizes this year than ever. 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Keurig Coffee Maker giveaways. And at 1 p.m., three Macy's gift card drawings. Senior Expo, Wednesday, May 23rd. Vendors include Ray Tagerstrand's Orthopedics, Medical Home Care Professionals, Shasta County Veteran Services, Wellness One, ILSNC Vision Resource, U.S. Bank Corp Investments, and Simpson University. Sponsors include Home Helpers, Marianne Seifert of Senior Placement Services, Margie Wapshaw Insurance, Northern Rehab and Respiratory, Precious Cargo, MD Imaging, Welcome Home Assisted Living, and Macy's. special thanks to KCNR 1460 and AM 1230 KLXR.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. And, hon, you have a Nikon camera.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like old technology.
That is now
too.
A very good paperweight.
It's a single lens reflex. Actually not. There's still enthusiasm for mm-hmm. old style, you know, analog cameras. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with the lenses that are mm-hmm. available for those corsets. Becoming less of an issue.
The
with
newer
new
digital. Yeah, the DSLRs now can adapt to those older high quality lenses because of the demand for it.
But it's sort of like having a typewriter and a computer, if you will, for word processing. Mm-hmm. There's something visceral and very direct about using a typewriter.
Yep.
As opposed to composing words, for printing on a paper through a computer. So, you know, everything is, all you have to do is hit the keyboard, but the rest of it's taken care of. On a typewriter, you know, you're actually doing the printing. So there's still some life left in analog cameras, for sure. If nothing else, it's a museum piece, okay?
Well, the most expensive part, of course, of a camera, of an imaging system, whether it be film or electronic, of course, is the glass, the focusing mechanism, that very complex, very expensive, extremely delicate chunk that sits out in front of your imager, as you are very well aware of. Now, what if you could do away with all that and have a very simple lens and still be able to do everything, focusing on any point in the image in multi-dimension, electronically? That would totally radicalize how we view the world through the lens.
That's certainly not how we personally see the world. So, it's like, you know, is this one of those too good to be true? You know,
well,
get this thing in the back of the cereal box,
the reviewers,
or your bubblegum wrappers.
No. The Lytro camera, Lytro, is really taking a huge step forward in digital imaging through what is called the Panoptic Digital Camera. The basic unit is a short square edge tube. It uses a sensor that looks rather like a insect's eye to capture all the light traveling in every direction as it's pointed. So it's almost, as I'm kind of seeing it here, almost of a holographic type thing.
Right. It has 3D capability, if I understand mm-hmm. the technology correctly. An interesting idea. Plus, it changes completely how we take photos.
I can't count the number of images that I have had spoiled by focus problems. Or
you just can't catch something fast enough.
Correct.
From the point of view that, you know, you're busy fussing with the focus and the moment is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's irritating as well.
So the file that is generated by this camera, you can go back into using the software and literally focus anywhere within the field of view that the camera had at that moment, up to the limits of its resolution. So if you wanted to focus on something in the midground or the foreground or in the way in the background and the rest of it is out of focus, you can do that. You can shift the focal plane after the picture has been taken. It captures the light field around it, not unlike capturing a sound field and being able to zero in through software on a particular sound, which we can do up to an extent if we want to take out a certain bit of noisy interference. But this is just a real amazing technology that could also revolutionize the way we make movies.
That would be interesting. I mean, the Star Trek holodeck may not be as far away as kind of one thought I had about this with 3D. So conventional cameras, or traditional cameras as we know them up to this point, basically capture color and intensity of light. And so the Panoptic digital camera concept is that, as Bob said, it has a light field sensor that records the angle and direction of light, a very, very different concept on how you're capturing the light from an image that you're taken. And the interesting thing about this is that years later, you could go back to this digital file of this image and mess around with it and change what it is that you see and view. And apparently it's creating quite a stir within the creative realm of photography, in that you can do completely different things with it. And so people are interacting with these images in different ways that are quite revolutionary. And apparently some things have come up that even the inventor of the camera hadn't even thought of. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, for things like surveillance imagery.
Yes.
Medical imagery, where you can maybe get one of these things small enough to be able to look inside the body and do analysis. Absolutely.
There's tons of things, possibilities with this. And the inventor calls them living pictures because, unlike traditional cameras, you shoot, you can shoot now with this camera and then focus later. So it doesn't really matter. You don't have to do, you know, mess with the focusing, and the image you get is the image you get. So it's it does require fairly sophisticated, powerful software,
yes.
But I'm assuming that that can be done on a PC.
Mm-hmm. Any current model PC can handle this software. And the data, just like we can manipulate, go back into old digitized photos and manipulate the image, these file formats, you'll be able to go back in and do more with them as time goes on. LYTRO, light field camera, still very much in its infancy. This is like when CDs first came out. From a technology point of view, this is pretty amazing stuff. So we'll be following the story as the technology develops, and bring you what updates we become aware of here on Boomer Tech.
Be interesting to see what they can do in filmmaking / video realm with moving imagery with this.
And when we come back, of course, it's warming up weather. People are going out on the water, and it's time again for National Safe Boating Week. This next weekend, big event locally that we want to talk about on Boomer Tech Radio.
The 19th and goes through the 25th.
I'm Cheryl Clifford, running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 4, because the only way to guarantee things are done right is to do it yourself. I've worked 52 years to get other conservatives elected, only to watch them metamorph into liberals. I have the courage of my conservative convictions. I'll put water rights, property rights, and businesses before job-killing environmental activism. I'll fight to protect local sovereignty against state and federal mandates. Vote Clifford for Supervisor, District 4, on June 5th.
Paid for by Clifford for Supervisor, District 4.
A safe and reliable vehicle is not only important to your peace of mind, it's good for everyone else on the road as well. Regular automotive maintenance can actually help save you a lot of money by spotting and correcting small problems before they turn into those costly major repairs. A tradition of service above and beyond what customers can get anywhere else is what sets Advanced Automotive of Reading apart from the rest. Tim Morlock opened Advanced Automotive years ago with that simple philosophy in mind, and now his son Cody is ready to serve their customers well into the next generation of cars and drivers. Come see the difference for yourself at Advanced Automotive. They're located in South Reading, where State Route 273 meets South Bonneview at 5756 West Side Road behind NorCal Transmissions. Give them a call at 244-4423 or visit them online at advancedautoreading.com.
Attention, Shasta County residents. This is an important message. The Hawkins Company's developers will be conducting a town hall meeting consisting of a presentation concerning the Knighton Road Shopping Center, followed by a question and answer session. Questions concerning the Knighton Road Shopping Center, as well as measures A and B, are welcome. All members of the public are encouraged to attend. The town hall meeting will be conducted this Tuesday, May 15th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. in the atrium at the Market Street Promenade just north of the Cascade Theater in Reading. If you have any concerns about the Knighton Road Shopping Center, please attend this town hall.
We're back. Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Oh, man. I am so... Okay, disclaimer here. We're both part of the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary, the non-law enforcement, non-military, all-volunteer branch of the U.S. Coast Guard, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security. And Brenda here, because she did not step back from the line fast enough when they called for a volunteer, is the flotilla commander for Reading Flotilla 39, also known as the 39ers. So, with that in mind, one of many hats you end up wearing.
Yes, I got my wrist held up to the back of my neck. You know how that goes in volunteer organizations if you're part of one. Well, coming up.
Well, the doers get told to do it.
They just assume you're going to. National Safe Boating Week starts Saturday the 19th and runs through Friday, May 25th. And this is an event that comes up every year. And you say, well, what's boating got to do with technology? Well, it's pretty interesting. You know, you can have all of the safety devices on board a boat, that you think is a safety device, you know, your GPS navigation. If you are out doing ocean stuff, you have a radar. Not that a radar wouldn't be handy inland as well, but usually you can see the shore and things like that. Not so such a big deal on Shasta Lake to have radar, for instance. Radios and all of those things. But, you know, if you aren't prepared mentally to maybe how to handle things that could happen, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big pushes with Safe Boating Week is wear your life jacket. Oh, they're hot, or they're this, or they're that. Well, you know, up to the age of 13 in the state of California, young people have to wear a life jacket. And there's, you know, if you're inside a houseboat, you don't have to wear it in the houseboat. If you're swimming, you know, off to the side of the lake or whatever, you don't have to wear it then either, is my understanding. But if you're in a vessel and you're moving along,
you're underway.
Underway, as they say, then you need to be wearing a life jacket if you're less than 13 years of age. Now, adults should be setting a good example, and there are some very comfortable models out there. And so, really, there is technology behind life jackets. For one thing, you may not realize that your life jacket is speed rated. So if you are a PWC, or personal watercraft operator, you really should have a life jacket that's speed rated for the maximum speed that your PWC can go. But more than that, there are real comfortable inflatable life jackets that you can wear that do have technology. There's a number of different styles. There's they look like a vest around the neck kind. There's one that's like a fanny pack you can wear. And so each of these types have different capabilities. Some inflatables you have to be aware and cognizant and manually inflate. Some have a little dissolvable pill in there that if you get in the water and it gets wet and then the pill dissolves, it activates it. And then there's hydrostatic ones that if you fall in and you get more than, 4 feet of water pressure over it, boom, it'll automatically mm-hmm. inflate. One thing about the inflatables, though, that we do need to mention, and this is definitely a technology thing if you're going to wear one of those, never, ever, ever, ever wear anything over an inflatable life jacket. Do not put anything on top. So don't wear a sweatshirt, a jacket, a vest, anything. You want an inflatable life jacket should be on the outside. Because if that thing inflates, you don't want busted ribs and a few other things.
Considerable amount of pressure contained in that little CO2
cartridge. Sort of like an airbag in a car.
Yeah. And if you have something that won't give on the outside, then your rib cage is likely to give on the inside. That's not good.
You know, and if you say, oh, it'll never happen to me or this or that.
The numbers do not support that at all. We don't want to terrify people here, but let's just look at some of the numbers going on. Now, 80 million Americans are involved in boating. In the year 2010, there were 6,062 vessels involved in about 4,600 accidents. There were 672 deaths and 3,153 injuries. Now, that is out. That's a very small fraction of the boats out there. The U.S. has 12 million registered boats. But it's hard to make direct comparisons. But things on the water tend to happen quick, and they are unforgivable because you can't just walk away from it. The water is an inherently hostile environment to human beings.
Well, alcohol, of course, mm-hmm. Boating under the influence, or BUI, is one leading problem in boating accidents. But wearing a life vest is also extremely important because 88% of drowning victims did not have a life jacket on. And don't say, oh, I'm a strong swimmer. If you get knocked out, you're not aware of what's going on and that sort of thing.
Recent in the news, the offshore races here in California during a big sailing regatta, several deaths sparked a huge debate on safety. Because that, especially out on the ocean, but it can happen on the lake. We have had a lot of deaths on Shasta and Whiskeytown lakes when things go very, very sideways. So we're not trying to scare people. We're not saying don't go out there and have a good time. In fact, we promote going out and having
Absolutely.
A good time. But go out and come back
right.
is
and
what we're asking.
Under that guise, the Coast Guard has noticed something else, that people who have taken a safe boating course, either online or in person, a resident, go to a class locally, were far less likely to be involved in serious accidents. So the state of California does not have a requirement that you go through a safe boating course in order to operate a vessel. I think that's kind of a mistake, because you learn so much in that one-day class. If you're interested in taking a safe boating class through the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, you can Google our Flotilla, and we do have a class coming up on June 2nd, as a matter of fact.
Now, next Saturday at about this time, big event at Whiskeytown Lake. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We have one of the helicopters, Coast Guard active duty helicopters, coming over from Humboldt. We try to do this every year. I just got confirmation that indeed we're scheduled for that. Of course, that's weather permitting, and right now it's hard to say what's going to happen with that, but we're going to assume it's going to be sunny, and we also have a CHP helicopter coming in. Both of those helicopters are slated to arrive at the Brandy Creek Marina area at about 11 o'clock in the morning, and then I think there's some activities going on for a little while. West Marine's going to be there with a booth. We have free vessel safety checks, which is just if you like, bring your boat out, and we can go through it and let you know if you have the proper safety equipment on board, and that doesn't cost you a penny. And then
don't forget the helicopter.
Right, sometime under after lunch, I think, is going to be a demonstration with one or two of our surface boats, if you will, on Whiskeytown, and you'll see a rescue swimmer jump out of the Coast Guard helicopter, be picked up by the boat, and then retrieved by the helicopter, hoisted back into the helicopter. And it's kind of interesting to watch. It's a rare opportunity to see the Coast Guard at work and in our area, because most of the time they do that sort of thing more over on the coast.
Sounds like a plan.
Saturday the 19th, about 11 to 2 or 3, I think, is what it's scheduled. And the helicopters arrive before lunch, and after lunch they're going
to... Here's a chance to go out and meet and greet and say thank you to our American... To the real guardians.
Absolutely, and the public is allowed to talk to the pilots and everything. So if
you're interested... And look at a very cool helicopter. CHP helicopter will be out there as well.
Have it come and go.
All right.
It's always exciting. It's a good time.
And when we come back, a little quick note on spring cleaning time. What do you do with your e-waste? We've talked about this before, but we have some more suggestions. A lot of big companies now getting into helping you keep your toxic metals and whatnot out of the landfills. When we come back.
The rising cost of fuel has us all looking for ways we can save a little, but those few dollars you don't spend on vehicle maintenance now could end up costing you a lot later on. Advanced Automotive of Reading is more than just a place to take your car, truck, or RV for repairs. They're caring members of our community with a big heart. That's why, as part of their car care program, Advanced Automotive of Reading is offering an easy pay option with 6 to 12 months interest-free financing on qualified purchases. And as if that weren't enough, find out how to enter the monthly drawing for $50 worth of fuel. For all the details on these great offers, and for the very best in safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, call Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 West Side Road, 244-4423. That's 244-4423.
There's new coffee in the store at Tobacco and Brew. Full beans by the pound. Portland blend. A rich flavor with a moderate body. And how about a favorite? Italian roast. Dark flavor with an enticing aroma. try the coffee special of the month. Cookies and Cream, a blended 20-ounce drink for just $3. Can you imagine a blended 20-ounce drink for just $3? What else, Carl?
Tobacco and Brew has the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Walk in and find any cigar that you could possibly want at great prices. Also, veterans get discounts at Tobacco and Brew.
And don't forget, Tobacco and Brew is closing out on their T-shirts and leather jackets at huge savings. Our favorite place to go, Tobacco and Brew, for all your coffee and specialty needs, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew.
And we're back once again, heading towards the end of the show here on Boomer Tech Radio. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, BoomerTechRadio at yahoo.com. Best way to contact. Gotten some great questions through the email. Fun stuff and things. Actually, if you want to make suggestions about future shows or whatever, we're more than willing to take your advice. Now, here's some advice. Spring cleaning, you're going through, and we're going through some major cleaning on in our particular little area of responsibility.
Nothing like a move to make you swamp it out.
Well, of course, we are gathering more and more junk that is electronic that you really shouldn't just go tossing in the trash. You have things like cadmium. You have lots of copper oxides. You've got lithium. You've got all kinds of metals and elements that really should not end up in our landfills.
Early in the game when you know, folks were buying computers and whatever, no one thought about recycling this stuff or what to do with e-waste. It's a kind of not unlike all these hybrid cars running around. What are we going to do with the batteries that are in there one of these days? But that's a whole nother story. So while you're spring electronic device cleaning, there are now much better options for being able to recycle these things and keep them out of landfills. And it really does make a lot of sense.
Now, this isn't a big promotion for Best Buy, but it's the one that I can name that we happen to have an outlet right here. As you go into the store, they're in their little kind of lobby area. You'll see a series of bins. They have these kiosks where you can drop off ink and toner cartridges, rechargeable batteries, wires, cords, cables. And if you are buying a new TV or appliance, you can get the old one removed and recycled. They'll come and get a couple of TVs for $100, which is, if you're trying to take this stuff down to the recycling center, you're running into more and more resistance. The Veterans Museum here in Northern California, Veterans Museum, is doing an e-waste recycling, and they will do things like, if you have an old PC, they will destroy the hard drive for you to military security specifications. They will drill holes in that thing and essentially junk the hard drive to protect your information. Same with the mobile phones. If you're worried about that, you have an old mobile phone, remove the SIM card, snap it in half, or just smash the thing, and then recycle the bits and pieces. You know, you want to protect your personal information, but you don't want this stuff laying around because these batteries will leak. They'll do all kinds of nasty things. So,
The transfer station, Reading, you know, utility garbage guys transfer station over there behind the soccer fields off of Old Oregon Trail, they also take e-waste for free. They just have you sign a form, and you can take all kinds of stuff in there, old televisions, everything.
We're going to cover this again because we've run out of time. Staples has partnership with Hewlett-Packard. People can drop off consumer products for recycling. They'll accept a variety of products, including laptops, monitors, mice, fax cartridges, all these things that have been accumulating in a closet. No excuse. Hear that, Bob? No excuse anymore to drag this junk around from place to place, continuing to clutter up your life. In fact, I'm getting rid of a lot of it. I'm kissing goodbye to a lot of
stuff you've drug around.
Old friend. Yeah, things I have drugged from one end of the state of California to the other, let me tell you. So that is about all the time we have for this week. Next week will be pre-recorded because we'll be participating in National Safe Boating Week activities. In addition to, we're going to be teaming up with Ernie and Dave of Let's Sell It. We're having a big sale out there on Charland Drive. You've been hearing public service announcements about that.
Yeah,
so that'll be a hoot.
Burrito Bandito, Miller Auto, that area.
Yep.
auto-fix it.
Watch for all the signs. Well, this has been Boomer Tech Radio, a production of Blongy Entertainment Enterprises. Our theme music composed and performed by George Wood. It's called 8-Bit Junkie from the PodSafe Music Network. It is being used by permission. We'll be back next week again with a pre-recorded show. Remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe, be good to each other. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Ready to go. I'm Pam Puso. The campaign trail taking Mitt Romney to the battleground state of Virginia, where he delivered a family-themed college commencement speech.
Speaking only days after President Obama endorsed gay marriage, Republican Mitt Romney offered a contrast in a speech about family values.
They may become topics of Democratic debate from time to time. So it is today with the enduring institution of marriage. Marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman.
Romney speaking to graduates at Liberty University, otherwise avoiding politics. He did mention a trenchant time frame.
One graduate has said that he completed his degree in only two terms, Clinton's and Bush's.
Liberty is a Virginia-based Christian university. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
A round of golf this afternoon for President Obama at Joint Base Andrews. Earlier, he honored the nation's top cops, highlighting the bravery of a New Jersey officer who was nearly killed by a suspect but managed to take him down.